Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, before your precious throne of grace, just thanking you for another blessed opportunity to gather together, Father God, and to feed off the word that will be fed to us today from the woman of God that you have selected before the foundation of this earth to come forth this day with that word. Father God, we pray that you would just use her as a mighty vessel to speak forth all that you would have us to hear, Father God. Let us soak it in, Father God, on the inside, everything that you have given to this woman of God to bring forth to us. So now, Father God, we just give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor, thanking you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chapter 10, you can go ahead and start.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening in to the program. And I pray that today's message will be a blessing to you. I pray that the message will give you greater insight, greater discernment. Amen. The title of my message is called, The Lord is My Shepherd, and No Shepherd is My Lord. I want to come out of the book of Psalms 23. If everyone can turn to that, but just to listen in with a listening heart. Psalms 23, there's six verses in the book of Psalm 23, and this is the Psalm of David. And so I want to start with verse 1. It says, The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord is also referred to as Jehovah. He's the Lord, the God of Israel. And so if the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want, why is it that so many of us are in want? If the Lord is your shepherd, you should know something about his character and his understanding and his ability. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is really deeply concerned about you and me. So if he's our shepherd, we need to pay attention to his character. We need to pay attention to his ability in order for us to even quote his words. This is these six verses, so many people quote it, but they really don't understand the meaning of it. It's very powerful. Okay. And so the second verse goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So if we're lying down in green pastures, why is it that so many of us are agitated? We're considered a sheep, just like the animal sheep. But humans are also considered a sheep. We're almost just a lion. And so when a sheep is contaminated in the flock of a church, it is the pastor's position, it's the pastor's authority to care for the sheep. If the sheep are contaminated, it is the pastor's position to move the contamination from the fold, set it aside, nurture it back to good health, and then replace it back into the fold. Sheep won't lie down, and we as humans won't lie down as long as we feel agitated, if we're feeling contaminated, if we're hungry, we will not lay down, okay? If we're full of fear, we won't lay down. We refuse to lay down if we have a feeling of fear within us. Sheep won't lay down unless they are free from friction and other kinds of formalities that agitate them. If a sheep is tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lay down. It's the same as humans. If we're agitated, if we're being tormented, it's hard for us to receive the word of God. It's hard for us to sit there and listen to what thus says the Lord. We want to cause confusion. We want to agitate other sheep in the church. We want to spread the parasites. And this is why so many churches are so messed up right now. We have so many contaminated sheep in the church, and a lot of times it's coming from the pulpit to the pew. Amen?
Amen.
You know, people self-appointing themselves into positions right now, because you can buy these documents over the internet, but there's an order to the church. There's an order to wear these mantles. There's an order to have these titles. Some suffering has to come in from somewhere when you're called by God. If God is calling you, you're called to the position, to the mantle, which needs to be nurtured, needs to be overseen, needs to be guided within a certain direction. You need to submit to someone before you release to even start a church. You should be submitting to someone before you even release to evangelize. Yes, there's an accountability to God first, and also to a leader or an elder, a pastor or an elder in the church to oversee you. There is an order to that, and you could find that, this order, out of the book of Ephesians 5:2 and 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, 1 Corinthians 11:2-16, and 1 Peter 5:5. Okay? And so we go on to say that when the flock is restless and discontented, it always agitates and disturbs, and it never does well. But this is where the pastor comes in. This is where the leader comes in, is to go and go out and get the sheep, pull it aside, deal with the situation, dealing with this disturbing this particular person, and then just kind of love on them. Take them back, love on him or her, making sure that they're okay, and then putting them back in their rightful position. So once the sheep is startled, they run. Okay, they run. And when they run, they'll cause other sheep to run with them. So it's called blind fear. You know, when you have blind fear and you're causing a sheepfold to run, then you begin to lose sheep. You begin to have a mess in your congregation. You have a mess within you. Sheep are helpless. They're timid. They're feeble. They're feeble Christians. Okay, so the only resource to run is when they feel like that they're in danger. How many of us are in danger, and we always want to be church hop? We want to go from church to church to church because we feel like we're in danger. We're not content. We're very disturbed people. We do not want to allow the presence of the Lord to reign within us. So we have a problem there. So the presence, the owner of the sheep, the pastor of the sheep, needs to really take hold, really need to submit, really need to know who's among them, really need to lie down and be on his face, or she be on her face before the Lord, okay, to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me. In the name of Jesus. So the next verse goes on to say, amen, that he restores our soul and he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So when he does this, then he also has his staff and his rod. When he's leading us, when he's restoring our soul, he's giving us and he's reviving us. He's reviving us. He's guiding us down the right path. Amen. So,
amen.
When he, you know, when we're being guided down the right path, then we're totally looking for him as our shepherd to oversee us. How many of us are comfortable with the Lord really overseeing us? We say the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want, but do we really submit to that? Do we really kneel to that? Because we're too busy. Some of us, we don't want to let go of the I thing or I'm in control of myself, instead of allowing the Lord to rest within you and to guide you in this path of righteousness, to revive you as the shepherd. He will restore you. He also says that he restores your soul, needs guidance, and the shepherd leads him in the right path. He will lead you in the right path if you allow him to restore and guide you. Amen? And so
amen.
When you're filled with death, the shepherd looks after you. He's with you. When your soul is confronted with the enemies, your shepherd provides a victory table for you. Amen? Your soul is wounded. The shepherd anoints your head with oil. Amen? When you're wounded, thorn, you can anoint your head with oil. Amen? So we just look for that. He said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of that enemy, and then I will anoint your head with oil that is running over. So he's still saying, I'm going to anoint your head with oil, and it's going to run over. Hallelujah. And that when you're wounded, he's going to restore you. He's still looking after you. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me with all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. And so when the goodness and mercy of God, you know, he's coming to you in a companionship, and he's a shepherd, and because of the goodness, you know, he's accompanying you in the things of the Lord, the things that you need to do, the things that he has to assist you in, so the goodness and mercy can follow you all the days of your life. Amen? Not just you, but we all have accountability to him when we stand that the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. So we have to give. He said, you know, even with the still waters, you know, I oftentimes ask the people, well, what is still waters to you? Because in the scripture said, he will give you still waters. Well, the still waters is pure food. It's not contaminated water. It doesn't have bricks and stones. It doesn't have rocks and pebbles in it. He's giving you the pure. He's giving you his food. He's giving you the daily manna. He's giving you fresh water to purify your soul. Amen. He says, well, I'm giving you the pure of the water for you to drink. I'm not giving you contaminated food. I'm not giving you contaminated water. I'm giving you the truth. I'm giving you the word. I want you healthy. I want you strong. I want your mind fortified. I want you to look your best for me. So I'm going to give you pure food. Amen. I'm giving you pure water. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you water to drink. And a lot of us are drinking so much contaminated water, we don't even know pure water when we get it. We should know, our spirit man should know, but if we're really contaminated, we don't understand because it's a process. Some of us are going through a process of being decontaminated when we really begin to thirst and have a hunger for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, am I making any sense to you all, or y'all just listening? It's kind of quiet on the other end. So, I just need to do some kind of feedback.
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
Amen. And
I'm
so,
listening.
Amen. What about you? Is it Bishop on the line?
Well, sometimes just to keep background noise out, you know, we mute the line so that the speaker.
Okay.
That's
amen.
Why you wasn't hearing too many amens from me.
Okay. Amen. And so if you go to Ezekiel 34:15, he says, I will feed my flock and I will cause him to lie down, says the Lord. So the Lord said he will feed you and he will cause you to lie down. He will cause you to be in rest. He will cause you to not have fear upon you. He will cause you just to be at peace. He will cause you to be at peace in the green pasture. He said, and I will feed you. He said, I'm looking after you. So if I'm looking after you, then you're a good hand. Amen?
Amen.
He said, you're in good hands if I'm looking after you. And so we have a tension to be real competitive with one another. We have a tension to go into rivalries with one another. We can be very assertive. We can be in friction. You know, all this is in us because we're not totally delivered. We're not in rest. We're not resting. And when we have all these things upon us, then we can't rest. We cannot say, right, but we say that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. We can't rightfully say that. But we could quote the scripture and not know what it means.
Amen.
So if he's your shepherd and you shall not want, why is it so much contentment? Why aren't we lying down? Why are we not resting? Why is it so much rivalry and competition between one another? Why? Because the sheep has a spirit of fear on them, and they will run. They will run. And some sheep are too fat. They're too fat on the word. They're too lazy. They don't want to get up and do anything. They just want to eat. You know, but they don't have the power and ability to get up to demonstrate anything.
Amen.
And so we have to watch out for that also. God is a good God, and he's a God that we shall not lie, and he will perform, and he will do what he says he's going to do. So Christ is Jesus concerned about us as his children, as his sheep. You know, how can we say we really belong to him? How can we really recognize his right? How can we recognize his right to us? How do we respond to his authority and acknowledge that he's our owner? How do we find freedom and complete fulfillment with this arrangement? How do we do that when we say the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want? You know, some shepherds out there want to take full control over the flock. They want you to honor them. They want you to worship them. The title of this message is that the Lord is my shepherd and no shepherd is my Lord.
Amen.
We have to get free from that. We have to get free from that because it will shipwreck us if we continue to do this, if we continue not to study to show ourselves approved. This thing is so simple. He said it's so simple a little child can do. It's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
So we're free from this because we get caught up in the things of the world and the things that we have to contend with, like paying rent, paying our light bill, gas bill, driving our cars, keeping the vehicle, just trying to keep gas in it, the maintenance of it. These are the things of the world. But then he says, seek me first, the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you, but it should still be a freedom there. It still should be a freedom there, knowing that we understand our Father, our owner's character. We understand his ability to take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
So we look at this thing a little different. We have to look at it a little different, take another look at it, and say, you know, what is my purpose? What is my, why am I so discontent? Why don't I have direction? You know, why am I waking up with all this baggage upon me that's not, that I'm not supposed to be carrying? Why is that? You know, why am I doing this? So we understand that sheep are helpless, you know. They're very helpless. They're very vulnerable, okay? We're vulnerable because we're sheep. We're vulnerable because we need direction. We're vulnerable because we have to have someone to lead us, to nurture us, to take care of us. A shepherd, a true shepherd will die for you. A true shepherd will come out and die for you. He won't let the wolves and the coyotes come after you. He won't let the buzzards and the predators attack you, the dogs, the cougars. He won't allow that to come after
Amen.
You. He keeps those things far from you. Hallelujah. But if you go to the book of John 10:12, it clearly tells you about the hireling. Who is the hireling? The hireling is someone that's hired for wages. The hireling is someone that comes into the church and oversee a flock and don't care for it. Read it. It's right there. if somebody could turn to John 10:12 and read it, just read it out loud so you can get that in your spirit. So when you walk into a church, if you could go into a church and see the discontentment in the church, see the people not they're gossiping, they're agitated, then you know what the pastor is doing. You know what the shepherd is doing. He's not really attending to his sheep. Because these are the wounds. This is what Psalms 23 is talking about. Then look at John 10:12. Read somebody, if somebody can help me out, read that out loud. It's giving you an example what an hireling is.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Hold on. Okay, John 10:12. The query says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, who owns the sheep and not see the wolf coming and leave the sheep and flee, and the wolf catches them and scatter the sheep. This is coming out the King James Version, and other versions might say something a little different.
Amen.
Okay. And so, and then 13 says, a hireling fleet because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep.
Amen.
And then on verse 14, it tells you what the good shepherd is.
Yes,
he
amen.
Says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I know what's mine, okay? And the Father knows me. Even so, know I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Yes, amen.
So
amen.
He told you that he knows his sheep, and he will lay down his life for his sheep. But a hireling will not do it. So what is
that's
a hireling?
Right.
A hireling, the definition of a hireling is just one that's there for wages. Okay? He doesn't care about the sheep. He's unfavorable. He's just there. And he does what he do, and then he leaves. There's no protection there at all with this type of
amen.
Person that's supposed to be your shepherd.
Amen.
And so
amen.
I just wanted to bring out
amen.
That before you all, because so you can identify who are you sitting up under, or even if you're visiting the church, who's speaking, who's over me, what am I listening to? Is he a real shepherd or is he hiding? Then look at the sheep. Are they agitated? Are they in contentment? Are they disturbed? And rightfully, some of that could be some of us. Is this what we do when we go in here? We see this, we see that. Then you're a disturbed sheep. You need deliverance. You can't say the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want when you cannot even discern who you're sitting upon. Who's over you? Who am I listening to?
Amen.
Is this person feeding my soul? Is this person feeding my spirit? Yes,
amen.
He has a rod and a staff. But when a good shepherd has a rod and a staff, he will bring correction to you. And he will sit you down. If you run away, he'll go come and find you. Or she will come find you and bring you back into the sheepfold.
Amen.
But see, nobody, I mean, and I'm sure there's people out there doing it, there's leaders out there doing it, but they're far defined. Amen. And so when we look at that, we have to look even at our spiritual cousin. Who are we accountable to? Who are we accountable to? What leaders are we accountable to? What elders are we accountable to? You can go to Ephesians 5:2 again, 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, and 1 Corinthians 11:12. Okay? If there's an accountability there. There's an accountability there. We have to be very careful. There's too many people perpetrating the word of God. Not enough accountability out there. Not enough at all. Amen? And so our hands have to be clean.
Amen.
Our hearts have to be clean. And we have to learn how to stand. God desires that no man shall stare. No man. You can find that in Ezekiel 18:19. He doesn't want any of us to perish. Okay? At all. And so we have to, you know, we have to
Amen.
Be very conscious, because a lot of us get caught up and we refuse to accept the sacrifice that he has, that he's done for us. We're refusing that. We don't believe that he really died on the cross for us. We don't believe that. We just want to go day from day doing what we do, and we think it's okay. No, it's not okay. If your father, if the Lord is your shepherd, then how are you really representing him? When people look at you, do they see him? Or do they see somebody else? Or do they see 10 other personalities in you? Mm. Amen? How many personalities
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Are you representing him? Because if he's your father, if he's your Lord, then you should be stamped with his mark. You should be stamped with his symbol. See, we have too many people ignoring the fact that the body of believers is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not allowing him to guide us into all truth. We have too many people using the gifts, and the gifts are not to be, the gifts are to be used in love. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. We have gifts, but are we using them in love? Are we using the gifts to tear their mm-hmm. to tear the sheep
yes.
off the womb, to dishonor them? That's not God.
Amen.
Those are sins against the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I'm my shepherd and I shall not want. You know, you have to understand what you're saying. Do you have his mark on you? Are you marked with the Holy Spirit? Are you marked with his love? Are you marked? When people see you, what do they see?
Amen.
But we see Tom, Dick, and Harry written on you. Which personality is this today? Who are you tomorrow? Who are you going to be within the next hour?
Amen.
You know, we have to be careful. We have to be very careful, because God is a God. You can't mock God like that. And this is why people dropping dead in the pulpit. You know, we're not fulfilling the golden rule. We're not fulfilling that as people. Why? Because we don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to study to show ourselves approved. We want to take what somebody say and just run with it and not even look up what they're saying to be true.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Talking just about us. And I just want to thank you for having me. I thank God. You know, hopefully that the Lord sowed a seed in your life or awoken you up to think about what was put before you. And I just thank God for the listeners out there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Wow.
Sister Beverly?
Well, I think it was a blessed message. I like the title, definitely. The Lord is my shepherd, and no shepherd is my Lord. I mean, that just says it in a nutshell. And using that 23rd Psalm to bring that out, I mean, that was just the perfect place to be at in Scripture. So I was really blessed listening to everything that you had to say. And I was amen, and even when you couldn't hear me, amen, because like I said, I was muting out so as not to have background noise while you were doing your delivery. But it was a very powerful message. It's a message that is what I call one of those messages for the churches. Churches need to be really into the Word of God, really into understanding who God is as the Great Shepherd, as opposed to the man or woman of God that's leading in that particular flock of believers. And so I really think that you expressed it well, Pastor Pam. So I appreciate your presentation here today. God bless.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Deacon Chapman.
Well, yes, I enjoyed the message. But when we look at the Psalms 23,
and we look at the first six verses, we have to see that David was given a Psalms of trust. And today, the question is, do we trust God and do God trust us? Because as a shepherd, you're responsible for the weak sheep, the strong sheep, and even those sheep that are growing. And like we have what they call revival in these days. When I grew up, revival in the word was the pastor. Well, they didn't really call themselves pastors back in the day. They would call themselves preachers or ministers. And they would revive the people of the congregation back in the word, because even myself, I have to sometimes go back and read the Old Testament scriptures and read the New Testament scriptures and revive myself. But David was speaking of an experience that he had as a shepherd. And he realized that the Lord was his shepherd, and through that he will not have any wants. And today in this age, as the speaker said, we will say that, and we still have wants and needs. But the thing about it, the psalm have two movements in it. One is the Lord is our shepherd, and the Lord being merciful. Because if it wasn't for God's mercy, we would still be under the laws of the land. And when we study, as she said, the word of God, if we look at the sixth chapter of Ephesians, God give us weapons to use in our spiritual battle, powerful weapons, that we can pull down the negative spiritual strongholds in our lives and defeat Satan. And God provided us some weapons to use to wage this spiritual warfare. And it's the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, your testimony for Christ, your commitment to Jesus Christ, and the word of God and prayer. But to get this, you have to do as she said, study to show yourself approved. Because Jesus said, enter into my rest. When you enter a rest, you have peace. Just like she was saying, when you lead sheep by still waters, they are very fidgety. And most believers of today are still fidgety. They will profess that they're saved. But in Romans 10, I said, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and the word if is a condition. If you look through the Bible, we'll see the word if quite a few times. That's a condition. But here's the thing. Will we study the word of God and condition ourselves to the peace that he's given us by trusting him through his son Jesus? Because in the Old Testament, he spoke through the prophets, but in the book of Hebrews, say in the second book, he speaks through his son, which is Jesus. In John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and life, going to the Father, but by me. We have to go to Christ in order and worship God through the Son. And as David was a worshiper. Even after God said he was a man after his own heart, he had a lot of iniquity. But one thing I've discovered when studying about David was a repentant king.
I
recognize David as a prophet.
I want to kind of say that and just let the viewing audience know, when you go to church on Sunday, whoever's in the pulpit, that message is for the multitude. It's for the baby Christians, for the intermediate, and it's for the ones that are receiving meat. You always take your leader and you train them differently than you train the multitude. So that message that's being preached on a Sunday morning should be for everybody. For the least, for the ones that really don't even know the word, the baby Christian should be able to understand that, okay? And so, even then, we still have to, and just like the deacon said, we still have to be able to receive God, because that's just real simple. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, yes, we have warfare, but I believe when we start getting into the warfare this portion of this, then we're growing. We're being fed a little bit more manna to where we have to chew it up, okay, because that's a whole other lesson just in itself. But just as a baby Christian coming in, even as an intermediate or someone that knows that is being fed manna, who's being fed the steak, the meat, we still have to see that the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. That's for everybody. That's for everybody. Everybody should be able to receive that. Everybody should be able to regurgitate just that much and just be able to come at peace with the Lord, be able to have that contentment with him, knowing that I belong to him. I'm stamp with his seal of approval on me. I'm resting in green pasture. My shepherd is keeping the wolves. That's why he has his staff and rod. He's keeping the wolves. He's keeping the predators off of me. Because a good shepherd will do that. He will do that.
Mm.
He will sit you down. She will sit you down when you see something out of line. They'll pull you to the side and sit down. Sit down. You can't talk on this mic for a year. Give me a little bit. You don't need to be out here preaching the gospel. You ain't been processing nothing.
Amen.
Preaching, I would say, hollering to the people. We need to be speaking to their hearts.
Yes, absolutely. Amen.
Amen.
But unfortunately, you don't have that. Unfortunately, you have some of that, but not enough of that. Okay? Because you have a lot of people who are only up in there for movement, just for the money. They don't care nothing about the sheep.
But they're
trying to see what they're getting in their pocket after the offering.
But a lot of times, does the hiring and hire these hirelings.
We're running out of time, and we gotta close in prayer. So, Pastor Pam, can you close us in prayer? Before that, I just want to give a comment myself. That was an eye opener. That was. Something that is very important, and even for me, I've been going to my church for about 5 years now, and there are a lot of children, there's young people in there, and the message that the pastor gives, is able to reach out to the young, as well as myself. And it's all the way around, including himself, and he always gives a very powerful message. And the most people that come in are the young people, and it seems like more people are coming in. So it's clear that he's given a good message. So the message was very powerful. It's something to think about and to really be careful of who you are listening to, but you do have to set yourself approved. You have to read the word, because that way you know that you're getting the right message at that time and that it's coming from God and not someone else. And I thank you. And for now, we're going to have to close in prayer. Pastor Pam, can you go ahead?
Sure. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for the word that has went forth, Father God, that it was sown on good ground, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that some was watered and maybe some was just totally delivered. We thank you for the spiritual awakening, Father God. We just thank you as your sheep, Father God, that we're being awakened and we're not so timid and we're not so feeble, Father God, and that we're ready to rise up. We're ready to stand up and we're ready to run this course of life, of this journey, Father God, with you, Father God. So I thank you, Father God, for the time that you have put before us right now. We thank you, Father God, that these words and the awakening will produce a harvest in due season, a good harvest in due season, Father God. And we just thank you, Father, that we're not lying down, but we're lying down for you. We're lying down in your green pasture. We're lying down just you as our shepherd. We thank you for the mark that you have given us on our forehead, your stamp of approval, Father God. And we just want to give you praise and glory right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And with that, we thank you, Pastor Pam, and everyone that listened in today. And all of you have a blessed evening, and God bless you all.
Good night.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Pastor Pam do? Okay.